fucking dude! What a play call!
You're listening to the best of the Commanders.
And it is good! Washington wins!
A weekly mix of 106.7 The Fan and 980 The Team's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
All right, guys, we talked about it in the first hour. Everybody will be talking about it today and until this thing gets resolved. But Terry McLaurin was back, kind of. He ended his holdout and turned it, I guess, officially into a hold-in. They placed him on the physically unable to perform list, also known as the PUP list, with an ankle issue. Kind of murky, as though, you know, they say it was something that happened to him late last season, but kind of an excuse to stash him while they try to work things out. He looked like he was happy. The fans gave an unbelievable, cheering, et cetera, when he showed up. I guess he showed up after practice or kind of the end of practice. And he seemed like he was in a good mood.
Heroes welcome.
I think he signed for maybe 20 minutes or so. He gave the press a minute or two. We talked about how it was great to be back, but they're still working out the business side of it. Of course, he's 29. He's in the final year of a three-year, $68.3 million deal that currently places him 17th among wide receivers. He's looking for a bigger deal here in his third contract. It's important to hold in versus hold out. Everybody knows at this point that when you hold out, it's $50,000 a day. It's written into the new collective bargaining agreement. He missed 4 days, so that cost him $200,000. But beyond that, this holdout is sort of expensive for Terry. He missed $500,000 for not earning his workout bonus.
Wow,
that hurts.
$200,000 for missing 4 days of training camp, and then he accrued $104,000 in fines for missing 3 days of minicamp. So far, Terry trying to angle for this new contract cost him almost $1 million.
Yeah, that's a lot.
So
I get salty when I get a speeding ticket that's over $100.
Yeah.
Speaking of fines, and those are way more substantial. And he's earning a lot.
But like
more
you
than
said,
we are,
it's good to finally see him.
It's good to see him at the camp. He looks like he's in great shape. He's in good spirits.
One thing that I noticed is the team doesn't seem resentful at all. You know what I mean? Like sometimes a guy holding out,
might be, but not
you're practicing. I'm saying the fellow players.
No, they understand.
They're completely on his side.
Yes. Because they're all going to go through the same thing too at some point in their careers. I mean, the ones that are on like Terry McLaurin's level, those guys are going to sign big deals. They're going to have hold-ins or hold-outs. They're going to have battles with front offices.
Mm-hmm. I was surprised that half of our audience sided with the front office.
Yeah.
Well, when we did the poll, it was pretty split because the angle was that Terry's under contract, right. And he is under contract.
Yeah. Of course, Terry last year caught 82 passes for almost 1,100 yards. He had a franchise record, 13 touchdowns. But his 30th birthday is September 15th. Of the 16 wide receivers making more per year, only two signed those contracts when they were older than 27. Can you name those two players?
Tyreek Hill is one.
Yep.
Ooh.
Who else is old?
Older than 27.
That are making how much money again?
They're making more than Terry. So there's 16 guys.
Because Mike Evans is making less.
I don't think
Mike
Evans. Not
Mike Evans.
One won't come to mind. Calvin Ridley.
Calvin Ridley. Okay.
Calvin Ridley.
All right.
Signed
in Tennessee. All right.
Hey, is Amari Cooper a free agent?
He's just floating out there, as far as I know.
Still out there.
He must be, like, super washed if nobody's signing him, or his asking price must just be too high, or a combination of the two.
I mean, you go out and play, it's got to be a certain amount at that point in your career to take that beating, to take another year of that beating on your body.
His production took a nosedive when he went to Buffalo.
Right.
Yeah.
Like his numbers took a serious downturn.
It did.
One thing that
But I would think that someone would reach out to him.
Maybe, especially if there's an injury in camp.
One thing that I have noticed, there are a couple insights that people have been giving us if you follow along with what's going on in training camp, is that the offense has struggled a little bit the last couple days. I think there was even one day where maybe Jaden had several interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
The defense certainly getting the better of it. Ja'Cory Brooks is making some plays. So that for the people that are in that Ja'Cory Brooks, watch out for him camp. He's giving you a little something. But Jalen Lane, they say, had the catch of camp so far.
Saw that it corner of the end zone.
Yeah. He went up and just
he had like three guys draped on him.
He grabbed it. Yeah, two guys in front of him, and he just came down with the ball behind him. Was able to get his feet down in the back of the end zone. It was pretty. It was a nice play.
Yeah, and I saw that Jaden was fired up afterwards. In fact, I think that was a practice where the defense did get sort of the better of them offensively. But Keim noted that they ended on a positive note there, and the guys were fired up. So
I'd love to hear from some people who were there. If you went to Commanders training camp yesterday, 1-800-636-1067, because, you know, Josh Harris, when he took over, they put in the bleachers for training camp, and they were packed.
Oh, yeah.
And we saw, you know, the different people tweeting pictures, whether it was the fans lining up or our pal Chris Russell with the cars in front of him in traffic. I'd love to hear from some people who were there, because it was hot, but whether you had a good time out at training
maybe
camp.
If anybody jumps out. Now it's hard because the guys, they're not even in pads yet.
But and what it was like when you finally saw Terry, like the roar of the crowd.
Steve Weiss was there. We mentioned that ESPN was there for practice. The NFL Network was there. Steve Weiss said, who has been the talk of camp so far, Cakes?
Who's been the talk of camp? Steve Weiss. I saw a little bit of his hit, too.
I'm going to guess it's Trey Amos.
Trey Amos.
Oh.
He said Trey Amos has been the talk of camp defensively. So that's good. That's a good sign. I keep hearing great things about Trey Amos, too. Sanistrel, by all accounts, is having a great camp so far, making plays. I think he even had what could technically be a pick six in an area where they're not tackling. But he jumped up, made an interception, and took it
back
to
the house.
It's
encouraging if the secondary gets even stronger.
No, I do think they're going to be markedly better than last year. And if Lattimore can improve at all off of last year,
have we heard anything about him?
I haven't heard much.
Yeah.
Positive or negative.
I heard some good things about the mini camp, but I haven't heard anything since training camp started.
Yeah, so I can't give you much there. But Trey Amos is doing great. Oh, I keep hearing that Iguanonabe is playing well. Now, of course, it's kind of in that substitution role, right? Nickel role, whatever it is. And he's playing against more against backups.
Yeah, such a hard name. Iguanonabe,
I think so.
No, it's just the easy way to identify him.
Yeah. I've heard that Wiley and Connerly are still kind of alternating reps. It may take Connerly a little longer than maybe some anticipate to get in there and be the established guy, still learning. And of course, if you have to start with Wiley, it's not the worst thing. He's an experienced guy. I haven't heard anything on Tunsil. So I'm just assuming he's just a rock there. Yeah.
Oh, who was tackle. I heard somebody who said he was just man. I think it might have been Doc Walker said he was manhandling. Just manhandling dudes one of the practices.
Which makes sense, right?
Yeah,
I mean, he's huge.
As a pro bowler.
Yeah. I know Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt has been turning some heads. I think Russell's going crazy about him, right? Didn't we have Russell on the show last week? And he's been talking him up. So some people have been mentioning him when you look at some of the updates from camp.
Krosky-Merritt is nicknamed Bill.
Right.
That's Bill.
Let's go to Z. Z was at camp yesterday. Let's get his report. Z, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
What's going on, guys? Thank you for having me. How you doing?
Yeah, man. We're doing great.
What was it like?
Oh, the atmosphere was great. Having the fans back out. We pretty much this year, we kind of going in with anticipation to, do great things. So the atmosphere was right. The offense did struggle a little bit, like you guys mentioned, but towards the end of practice, they did pick it up with the 2-minute drill again with Jalen Lane and his catch, and then is it Strakem? They caught the catch at the end, so the atmosphere was definitely up during that period. But the D backs, man, they look strong. Amos, Lattimore, and Mikey, they look real strong out there. And that one handed interception that Mikey Cook picked off would have been a pick six. So
right.
Z, what was it like when Terry showed up?
Oh, man. So with the alert, we got the alert on the way there that Terry was going to be there. So,
oh, you did?
You know, we're podcasters, so I was definitely, you know, putting the news out on our page as well. So when we got there, I'm kind of like anticipating, hopefully he kind of came out early, but he came out towards the end, and it was definitely heartfelt to kind of see him back in the mix with the guys, just mingling and talking and just being there. But most importantly, like he spoke about yesterday, with the fans, just, you know, being amongst the fans, being able to show the love, because outside of the business part of it, you know, you definitely got to remember, you know, where the love and everything comes from. So It was definitely heartfelt from my end, and it was great to see. I'm hoping that today or, you know, maybe tomorrow, something that works out this week where he can get that deal done so he can get out there with the guys.
Did you notice anything physically with Jaden? Did Jaden look a little thicker? Did it look a little meatier? You know what I mean? Or all these reports that he gotten a little bigger in the offseason. Could you notice that, or did he look like the same guy to you?
Nah, I definitely noticed it. He definitely got buffer in the arms. Mm-hmm. So you can tell he's been in the waiting room and put on some weight. He looks good.
He's wearing two different colored shoes.
Yeah, the Kobe's, the Kobe cleats.
Oh, is that what it is?
Come on, EB. You don't know that? The Kobe cleats? Come
hey,
on.
How, hey,
I didn't know that.
Hey,
I didn't either.
Hey, how did Von Miller and Kinlaw look? Those guys, the new guys on defensive line.
Kinlaw is huge. I didn't really get to see much of Von Miller. I was looking around, but I saw him more so like towards the end of the practice. But, you know, definitely Swift, definitely doing his thing. And what I did see that with Connolly, like you guys mentioned, with Cat Wiley and Connolly was rotating. So they're definitely trying to get them reps in together to kind of figure out who's going to, you know, play that other tackle. But overall, man, I think Kinlaw is going to be a problem as well.
Mm-hmm. Are you going out to any other practices?
Yes, I'm actually headed out there now.
Oh, nice. Right. Oh, cool.
Nice. This guy is hardcore.
Wait, listen, dude, you're welcome to call us with any updates if anything jumps out at you.
Will do. Appreciate you guys.
Yeah. All right, appreciate
Thanks for
you.
The call.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, take care.
Yeah, you too, bud. I think I see...
all positive.
My man, he does a podcast, Reedy and Z. I'm just looking up online.
Nice.
Big diehard Commanders guy. They mentioned Santana. Santana's going to be recognized. Okay?
Fantastic.
That's awesome.
Well deserved.
Everybody has great memories, fond memories of Santana in some less than ideal circumstances.
Cowboy killer.
Certainly. Was he the one that Brunell threw the two touchdowns to?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'll never forget that game. Monday night. Everybody's about ready to go to bed.
Everybody thought that's a big winner for the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. No.
Yep. The back-to-back touchdown throws there late in the game to seal that. Was that like a 14-13 victory? I think it was. It was something like that. But Santana, just a great player here, great tenure. You know,
great team guy.
Yeah, just everything you want. And he's been here in the community and commenting and working around this team ever since he retired. I can't think of a better guy. Right, to be inducted.
And another good move by the front office and the ownership to recognize, you know, a guy that should be recognized in Santana Moss.
Right, right.
What was his last year? Was it 2013?
You'd have to look it up.
12, 15,
Jason,
13 years ago?
You'd have to look it up.
I got
to
look it up. I will. 2014. All right, so the 2013-14 season.
But that's basically it. We talked about Jalen Lane. He's been impressing people. Ja'Cory Brooks. Oh, Gallup supposedly has made some plays. They might have some decisions there. I know Kime did mention that Brooks is going to have a hard time making the active roster. They do have, you know, they may not have, you know, the top two or three receivers in the game type thing, you know, like Cincinnati, mm-hmm. something like that, but they do have some depth there. So, you know, look for some of these guys maybe to stick around on the practice squad. We will see. But it's early, and I think, you know, knock on wood, we haven't had any catastrophic injuries yet, right?
Not yet.
No.
Not yet.
Let's hope that's the case.
Yeah, so hopefully.
Get everybody healthy till week one.
When do they put the pads on?
Today.
Today's the first day with pads.
Yep.
All right, so today
old team's
will be good.
Doing okay, EB.
Yeah.
That's going to be.
Are we officially the oldest team? Are we officially the oldest
long.
Team? We're right up there.
I think heading into training camp.
I thought so it was the oldest
veterans.
Roster.
Yeah.
Yeah. Average age.
Yeah, when you add guys like Von Miller.
I mean, that shoots up your number. He's 36.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You got to see who makes the final roster. Because I saw somebody counter it. Is Josh Johnson still on the roster right now?
Yeah, I doubt he makes the final.
But some guys are going to be cut.
Yeah.
So you cut some of those
like
old farts.
Like a guy like Michael Gallup,
maybe
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe you slide down a little bit.
No surprise, the Commanders are at the top at 27 and a half years following them because they have an old-ass quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, the Steelers.
Steelers are right
26.8.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have a 41-year-old on your roster, that's going to alter things.
Well, they've also had a lot of guys who've been there forever.
Right.
Watt, Hayward. Mm-hmm. They seem like they've got a lot of veterans.
Yep. So it was interesting to see his reaction to the Terry Bradshaw comments yesterday.
He was pretty magnanimous about it. And that he, you know, he's always idolized kind of Terry, but that Terry doesn't really know him, but he'd love to sit down with Terry and he thinks that they'd get along. So who knows?
I wonder if that's the truth.
I don't know.
He was just trying to sound nice.
I don't know. By the way, Mitch Tischler always does a bit where he tracks first one on the field every day.
Yeah.
Valdez, your boy, Cole Turner, two out of 4 days, been the first one on the field.
Very good.
Needs to make a good impression.
Got to make a good impression.
Wants to make that roster.
Yeah, good for him.
He's just a good dude, man.
Good for him.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. We're out west, Ashburn, Virginia. Final fan day of three in a row, then they'll have a few more later in the week. Fans are out here. This joint is packed. People are having fun. We do have breaking news on the fan. We got plenty of football to discuss. Good morning, Brian. How do you do?
I'm good, Jake. What's up?
Let's get a feels-like temperature. It's hot, dude.
It feels like it's hot.
it definitely feels like it's hot.
Well, the people that, the select event group who put up all the stadiums and stuff.
Yeah, the security stuff guy.
I had to go over there and meet some people. Their side, that air conditioner, I feel like I was in Iceland, though. I told him, I said, hell, can y'all come over to the tent I'm about to go to and hook me up? She said, what tent you're in? She said, oh, you're in one of the radio tents. I said, next year? Since I came over here and hollered with y'all, we need a better thing. Because I said, our little air conditioner is not kicking it at
all. They also have doors. Like, they have real. So here's what we need next year.
Jay.
B, we got people. Let's get a Rude system out here and Paul Henry build us some doors.
Hell yeah. Hey, Paul, you're listening now. That same place you built for JP in the back?
Yeah, dude.
We need a kind of glass one so people can see us, but they can't get to us.
Yeah.
And then Jim and Jimbo, roll out here with the Rude equipment systems and we'll be good.
I know Jim doesn't like driving to Maryland to deal with me. I'm in Ashburn, baby. This is a home game for you. Now, the breaking news, however, is it is quite hot, and we're live on the radio, and B just got a rack of food from the Tacoma Station food truck.
Yeah, man, I figure everybody want to try it. I'm going to make sure we hook it up. So me and you going to sit up here. We just ate some catfish, we brought these some wings, and we got shrimp and grits.
So I did not expect to eat catfish at 10 a.m. in 95-degree heat.
5 o'clock somewhere.
Dog, that was good. That was really, really good. B, yesterday it kind of happened as
oh, and I got you a gift.
Oh, what is it? Cigar. We smoke Cohiba blunts. that's great. Thank you. The Terry thing, the Schefter report kind of broke as we were getting done yesterday. And then a little later in the day, Cortland Sutton signed a contract with the Denver Broncos.
Well, how much?
So he got about 23 a year.
Terry way better than that, though.
Cortland Sutton is not as good as Terry McLaurin, period.
Yeah. Yeah.
Last year, their stats were damn near identical, but Terry got way more touchdowns. Mm-hmm. I mean, they went for almost the exact same yardage, exact same catches, but Terry had 13 touchdowns to Cortland's 8. And in Sutton's career, he's missed a lot of time, right? Yeah. He almost missed a full season in 2020. That was a COVID year, so who knows? That was weird. He's been pretty dependable, but he only has 2,000-yard seasons. And while they're about to be the same age, this is Terry's point. Sutton turns 30 in October. Terry turns 30 in September. But Sutton has played a full another season. He was drafted in 2018.
Yeah.
Terry wasn't drafted till 19.
Yeah.
So there's age and then there's football age that are a little different.
And he has production.
Right. So Sutton signed a 4-year, $92 million extension, right? $41 million in guarantees. So basically, they guaranteed about 2 years.
Yeah.
Now, Terry is way better than that. But at the same time, I think there is some questions about the age thing. So, what if any impact do you think this Sutton deal, now that that's the latest receiver deal?
They are going to definitely use it. Because their ages are closer, but I think you say he had two 1,000-yard seasons. How many did Terry have?
Terry's had
five or six.
I think Terry's had six straight.
So he's had six.
He's had five straight.
Five straight.
5 and 6 years, and his rookie season, he had 919 yards and didn't play the last two
games. So that's 3,000 yard season is better.
Yeah.
I still would have to believe that Sutton has had better quarterbacks as well, right?
No. Denver's been bad until last year with Bo Nix.
They had Bo Nix. They had Russ there as well. So
Russ was bad.
I won't put Russ behind anything.
Wentz,
Sam Howell,
Heineke.
I won't put him behind Wentz. Yeah. I won't put him behind Heineke.
That's fair.
So he's had better receivers. So I understand. Now, Metalik's here. When we were talking about right at the 33, 34, I think that's going to drop down.
We've said 29. We've said 30 is the number.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to wonder if 28, 29 isn't the number. 28 and a half. Dude, how long will this go if there's a guaranteed? So it's 28 and a half for talking sake. What is 28 and a half times 2 be? Help me understand.
28 and a half times 2? 14.25.
No, that's dividing. Times 2.
Times 2, 57.
If they can get to a place where there's $57 million guaranteed,
mm-hmm.
and this thing gets closer and closer to week one.
It happens.
At some point, 55 mil, 56 mil, guaranteed. Don't you think eventually it gets really hard to not sign something like that?
It does, but I think I understand the whole thing, and I understand Courtland Sutton and all that, but you cannot try to now tell a person what their worth is based off of what somebody else's worth is, especially a guy that has missed more time than you. You've been more dependable. You've had more production. Then that would be kind of disrespectful.
I think the biggest issue in all of this is because Pittsburgh traded for Metcalf, they were pot committed and they overpaid. To me, Metcalf shouldn't be the fourth highest paid receiver in the NFL.
That may be the case.
But it also doesn't matter. If Terry's drawing his line on that, this thing, you know, if you're going to be above Metcalf, you're talking top three, top four in the NFL, and maybe they're not willing to do that. And if the number's got to be 30, it's just crazy that both sides can't compromise on this thing a little bit. And you wonder, as time goes on and you watch practice today, and you talk to people, like, you know, Michael Gallup made a couple catches today. The kid, Ja'Cory Brooks, has been pretty good. But, like, you watch a deep ball go to 16, and it's just not close, and you're like, man, what if that was 17?
I saw four go to 19, and that's the kid been in the league.
That's Chris Moore.
Chris Moore been in the league 10 years. He touched one of them, and he didn't catch it. If I think four go to – I just say this, man. I watch those receivers out there, and a lot of guys show you some stuff that they could possibly be a help. None of them shows you that they could be a replacement.
No. Debo had to play at camp today. Long deep ball down the right side, laid out for it, caught it. It was just beautiful. I imagine the Commanders will post that so everybody can see the video. So everybody knows, you know, the media is not allowed to shoot this stuff. And they've actually really been cracking down on the fans, too.
Laid that thing out there perfectly, though. Great touch. Didn't put too much on it where it would be overthrown. But Debo went and got that thing.
Yeah, it was really impressive. B, what have you seen from Luke McCaffrey? We've been watching for, you know, we're 6 days in now.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. I can see him being a little better fluidly. He looks more like the receiver now, but I think he's thinking. When I watch him, I don't see a guy who's just reacting. I see a guy who's out there thinking about everything he's doing. And when you think about everything you're doing, you don't go as fast as you possibly can. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like if I know I got to go seven steps, hit it, and go out or in, you know, he seems to be counting the seven steps. One, two, three. Instead of just boom, 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 bang, and go with it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I think that little thing is troubling him. He has to get to the point where he's comfortable being what he is. It's the second year, and I can remember coming in as a former quarterback who's now moving to running back. And that first year was hell. The next year, it was a little easier because I was able to be the return guy, you know, where I had something solidified and I was able to go overboard on working on the other stuff. For him, it's not that necessarily. He got a lot of people he's competing against at both positions.
Yeah, man, it's – the Luke thing is interesting because it's just you haven't seen it, man, and you wonder what the trust level is with Jaden. You wonder what Jaden's trust level is with a lot of these dudes and how much better he would feel if 17's out there. You know what I mean? And Jaden's a say the right thing, do the right thing guy. But, like, dude, we're only a week away from the New England practices. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what New England's talent level is. They have some good corners. That kid Gonzalez.
Yeah, he played. Did he get hurt or something?
His rookie season.
Oh, okay. Is he completely back?
I believe so, but I'll find that out. You know, Mike Vrabel coach team, they're going to be looking to make a statement with the Commanders coming to town with how much success Washington had last season. And I think Washington's defense looks a lot better, and I think Jaden Daniels can make chicken salad out of chicken feathers.
But he looks good.
Dude,
totally. Listen, I'm going to give you that. Look, that dude looks good. Damn good.
Yeah, totally. Michael Gallup looked okay today. I actually want to try to grab Rooster. I know Rooster was scheduled to talk to Gallup. But, dude, it's going to be interesting to watch it unfold, man. And it doesn't seem close, which is kind of what you and I have said. And you wonder, you know, unless there's some compromise coming, like, does this thing go down the trade request route and they say no, or you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
he is under contract for the year. Yeah. We're almost to August. It's July 29th. My guess be, and I'm curious what you think on this, the Ravens preseason game is the 23rd of August, right? That Thursday, August 21st, is the joint practice with the Ravens.
Yeah.
I think if you're DQ and you're Cliff, if you're DQ and Cliff, you want Terry in yesterday. But organizationally, by the time you get to that Ravens joint practice, that's going to be your best real test before the season starts.
Yeah.
Not the game, that practice. I think they'd love to have 17 back by then.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree. It, but, you know, like I said, these things get ugly. They go where they go. And I think what's going to come down to it now is the player, and I will say it over and over again, is going to have to make a decision, not the agent, the player. The agent's job is to tell you, I can get. And if he can get it, he gets it. But when it doesn't seem to be working, now you got to be able to say, am I going to fight for that and not get this? Because if it's 28, 29, that's life-changing still, right?
Yeah.
And I think you got to think about that instead of the agent trying to make sure he looks good to the public.
Especially this would be the most high-profile deal his agent's ever done.
That's what I'm saying. And listen, man.
Maybe that helps you land other clients.
We can both be completely off base.
Right.
But I have been around where people tell me, well, I've seen it and I've dealt with it. I had an agent tell me one time, I had been offered a deal that a new guy had got, because I got a talent deal with the person. I could get more than that. I said, well, you get more than that, I will sign the contract you get, and I'll come back with you. If you don't, then I don't want to hear anything else from you. You know when I heard from him? About 9 months ago when I ran into him somewhere. So I'm talking about 1990-something. And I heard from him then because the dude didn't get what he can get. The player is the boss.
Yep.
Any way it goes.
Yep. Here's what I want to do. We haven't done this in a while. I want to open these phone lines up. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. We're now into day six of camp. We're starting. Terry's been here. He said a few things. No real progress day to day. We have this Schefter report about considerably more than DK Metcalf. We also now have this Courtland Sutton deal hitting. Which you can argue, Terry's undeniably better than Sutton, and I argue Terry's better than DK, but Sutton and Terry are the same age, and front offices are going to point to that. You know what I'm saying? So there's a lot of new data points since the last time we did the Terry calls. 800-636-1067. How are you feeling about the McLaurin situation? He's here. He's holding in. He's in the meetings. He's with his teammates. But he's not on the field, and there are moments out there where you could tell they could use him on the field.
Yeah, that's true. 100% facts. And but the thing of it is, you can't get to a point where you try to prove a point by saying, well, look what this other guy got. Well, are you telling me I'm not as good as that other guy? That's what you don't want to make a player hunker down by trying to say, well, he got this. This will you. No, 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 no. Don't forget the numbers. Don't forget the production. Don't forget what we've done side by side.
Totally.
You know, at least give me that love and respect, but don't ever try to just dismiss it.
800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Want to start this with calls. I'm going to give you guys a full hour. Nicky Jabal is going to join us at 11. Barstool Nate's going to join us at noon. All the Barstool guys were here today. Got to see PFT and Big Cat. It was cool to see those guys in their element. Landy, is that Elijah up and live?
Yes,
if it is. Let's take Elijah.
What's
man,
up, Elijah?
How you feeling about this Terry situation, brother?
Man, I wish it would settle itself as everyone would like it to. I've been thinking, is this Terry's last big money contract, or
for the most part, yes.
This number. So I'm thinking about myself. If somebody say, "Look, Slim, this is about the last time you're about to go up in this grocery store," I'm probably going to take some time to make sure I got everything I think that I need moving forward. And you just said that too, B, even dealing with this agent thing. If he says, look, yeah, man, after this, Terry, he may not even be able to push Terry after this contract, and he may have to retool and find some other guy. So, hell yeah, the guys are looking around about how this situation is going to go. I personally would decide a man after the NFC title game because a lot of cats haven't made their decisions yet. And you could have jumped out there to say, look, man, we got this. We lost the game, but we know where we're headed. I'm not trying to put his outside situation, him being married and all the fun stuff. That don't have nothing to do with ball, but it's still a good time for the man's life, man. You see what they're building. You see what's going on. I thought they should have took care of it and got on an offensive and try to get this thing taken care of. And I wouldn't be surprised if this situation goes around the NFL and other organizations look at this situation and say, look, Slim, we're going to have to make a serious choice moving forward because if somebody resets the market before you get an opportunity to, now you're playing into someone else's hand. You better look at the thing for yourself and stop looking at everybody's organization about how you view your players and what the market is. You set the tone when you're looking at your own chips and you're looking at your own account, what you can and cannot do, and you holler at them so you have more time to work the deal. I just feel like they didn't have enough time. We waited. We hadn't been in a title game in a while, and I think we were just feeling good. And I think that was a time to get going, and they kind of waited. So this is, this is what you get sometimes in business. You got a guy 30. DK ain't better than Terry, man. He's just not in certain aspects. You know he's the better guy. But it's situation, and I think they just kind of got bit in the butt by a bad situation and other teams trying to make moves, and they didn't really get an opportunity to get their coin where they wanted to. I would have just said, look, man,
it's a great call, Eli.
Appreciate you, brother.
Thank you, man. Good call. Keeping these phone lines open all hour, the Terry McLaurin situation. We're 6 days into camp. Terry's here, but he ain't practicing. He's signing autographs, not contracts. How you feeling? Where is this thing at as we amass more data points? What I can tell you is as Terry's trying to go through this and the agent is dealing with the contract stuff, if you're in a similar boat, you need the right agent, especially if you're dealing in real estate and you need our guy, John Leahy.
Yep, you need that right agent just like Ashley did. Ashley had purchased her Upper Marlboro home 2 years ago, but it hadn't gained any equity. For her, it had become time to sell. John Leahy and the Fine Living Group went right to work, and it certainly didn't take long. The property was under contract within 3 days and sold for the very price that John and his team had recommended in only 2 months. If you're looking to sell, take advantage of John Leahy and the Fine Living Group's guaranteed offer. Start by finding out what your home is worth in only 30 seconds at johnsellsdmv.com. We're talking about our good friend John Leahy and the Fine Living Group of eXp Realty. John offers you flexible fees customized to your needs, and he knows that life happens. So if needed, he will let you out of your contract at any time.
And think about it this way. Homes are starting to sit a little longer. Interest rates are high. Buyers are starting to get a little more control of the situation. So if you're a little afraid or just nervous about not being able to sell your home for that top dollar figure, check out John Leahy's VIP seller program. John has access to pre-approved buyers and knows how to create top demand for your home, getting you the highest price possible. He's so confident he'll get it done, he'll even guarantee it. That's why I would call John, and so would be. 301-900-3052. Go online to johnsellsdmv.com, or what's even easier, just Google John Leahy Group
and start packing.
The idea behind the Terry McLaurin versus the team standoff, I think for most people, is that the team has all of the leverage. And it is unquestioned that they have most of it. I think you could say that without trepidation. But here's the part of this that isn't really being talked about at all. This assumption that eventually he's just got a post. And I'm as guilty as everyone of assuming that that's the case.
It's my big point, I would say. It's kind of like my hammer. And I'm probably overstating the importance of that or the impact that's going to have. But that's kind of the thing I keep coming back to anytime we have this discussion.
Well, it's everybody's big point. Because right. Let's face it. There's only one way this ends, basically, in everybody's mind. If he doesn't get a deal, he tucks his tail between his legs begrudgingly and at some point shows back up. Now, if he waits until the last possible second to accrue a football season, he could miss several games and still come back in season, have to get back into shape and then play half of the year or whatever. But to your point, Danny, nobody thinks he's going to do that, and nobody thinks that's how this ends. But I just keep hearing this idea of essentially, well, the team doesn't have to do anything. All they've got to do is just keep turning the calendar to the next day, and eventually McLaurin is going to come back. True. I do think that. I agree with that. But isn't there something to be said for a leverage from McLaurin's standpoint that we have not talked a lot about, which is go watch a practice.
Yeah.
Open to fans tomorrow, although I guess you have to have a ticket, and there's only three open practices, so if you didn't get your tickets in the first 6 minutes, it's too late, which is awful that the NFL and the Commanders do that now, but it's where we are. But when the practices are open tomorrow, if you're there, watch the receiving room. You know, watch how they stack up against Washington's corners. The last several days when I've been out there, corners have the advantage. Without Terry McLaurin, you've got a banged-up version of Noah Brown. Debo is not a traditional wide-out, every single down out wide or in the slot. He's all over the place. So if you're talking about just traditional wide receivers that are fully healthy right now and on the practice field, Michael Gallup, who was good a bunch of years ago for the Cowboys, Luke McCaffrey, who caught under 20 balls as a rookie last year, Jalen Lane, a rookie this season who caught a few dozen passes in his college career at Virginia Tech, KJ Osborne, who was on and off of practice squads in the NFL, kind of on the waiver wire last year, Chris Moore, who's been in and out of organizations, scrap heap, practice squad the last couple of seasons, and then a couple of camp hopefuls, you know, camp body roster hopefuls that have impressed in moments like Ja'Cory Brooks or Mike Strachan, who mossed somebody in the end zone at a practice I was at a couple of days ago. That's the wide receiver room. I got news for you. That's some leverage for Terry McLaurin if this team actually thinks it's really good. If they, Danny, assume that they have a chance to get back deep in the playoffs to an NFC championship game or a divisional round. Because they cannot do that without him.
Agreed. Yeah, the counter to the counter, because you're right. Everything you're saying is correct. The only way for Terry to get what he wants is to go on a football version of a hunger strike. Right? If you do damage to yourself and your rep and your ability to sign and your ability to earn what you want to earn and get what you think is coming your way is deserved, is you're damaging the team by damaging you. If you're willing to go full Le'Veon Bell, yeah, the team's worse off. If that's what you want to do, you can, you know, all of your brothers and all the guys that you've bled and sweated and worked through and everybody that's on your side, you're letting them all down to go on this hunger strike just to prove to the team that they're the big bad guy or the organization, the front office, whomever you want to put the finger at. He can do all that damage to himself and make the team worse. That is 100% true. That's on the table if that's how he wants to play it. My view on that is it's so disincentivized and so silly, frankly, for a player who would like to be paid, who'd like to earn what he thinks is worth, to go down that road, given the way the CBA is. It's a fool's errand, but it is on the table. And you're right. I mean, he has that leverage in the sense that you can't do what you want without me. So you've got it, even though I'm under contract and I owe you another year and you guys owe me money based on that. If I don't live up to that contract, you know, watch what happens to your dreams. Watch what happens to the second season of Jaden Daniels and all the goodwill and all the cultural impact that Dan Quinn and Adam Peters and everybody has had. I will light fire to it, even though it's my own fortune too. I'll ruin you guys' thing while I'm ruining my own.
The Joker.
Exactly. That's what I think of.
You're right. You're 100% right. He ain't the Joker. He's not throwing the match on the dollar bills. But I'm saying we at least have to acknowledge that we are assuming we don't know. Everyone's speaking as if it's a certainty because it's common sense enough that it feels that way.
Yep.
But it is still an assumption until he shows back up. And I guess my point is, it's the one part of this I haven't heard talked about enough is that they really need him to play if they're going to be what they want to be on offense overall. The damage done to the passing game, to your offensive scheme, to Jaden Daniels' development, the single most important thing in this entire organization, the sun in their solar system, is significant if Terry McLaurin is not out there. And because we all just assume at some point he's got to be there, we go, oh, it'll take care of itself. But in the meantime, I think it just needs to be acknowledged that when I hear, I think it was EB earlier today that said, like, they don't need to budge 1 cent, 1 penny. And his point is well taken. I totally understand that. You've kind of said the same
thing. I have, yeah, for sure.
They don't have to do anything. Just keep looking at the calendar and saying, all right, well, maybe tomorrow he'll admit defeat. Okay. But the secret that nobody wants to talk about is if he isn't playing in week one, your chance of beating the Giants gets a lot worse. You might still beat them because they're terrible, but thank God it's the Giants. You know, if you were playing Pittsburgh or you were playing Kansas City or you were playing a grown-up like Green Bay or Minnesota or Detroit, you might need him actually to get over the top. Yeah. It's the difference between being able to go out and score 30 or maybe scoring 22.
And it, like, they pushed the Giants around last year when they were good. I mean, they had two really competitive, awkward games with them. Very NFC East of you. You're totally right.
But if we're going to tally this up, I guess that this would be my final thought on this. If we're going to say the CBA is currently constructed works against him, $23 million a year Cortland Sutton signed for yesterday hurts him. Having a year of term left on his contract hinders him. Okay. Then we also have to say Washington needing him to win games helps him.
Yes.
And that the Commanders risking an 11 personnel grouping with Osborne and Moore in week one sure as hell is some leverage. Like, the idea that he's got zero, I don't know if we can keep saying that.
I think you're right. I mean, to me, again, I've applied common sense and I've applied reasoning and I've applied knowing the person, right? Like, or just naming a receiver. Antonio Brown doing some sort of self-sabotage before he you know, it got this bad, but while still in Pittsburgh, that would fit the player. Brandon Ayuk not signing until the end of August last year after going on Instagram Live saying, I want to play somewhere else and I don't like these guys, whatever. Doing some self-sabotage, that fits. It doesn't fit for me with McLaurin. This guy that he's been for so long, transforming into this cartoon villain that will ruin this season and his friends and teammates and everybody, just in the name of proving this point.
But did his image fit with him being
no.
at Eastern Motors?
It did not.
Did it fit with him holding out?
No.
One of two players in the NFL that is right now?
No.
Did it fit with him every single day, basically
putting on this little show and hanging out with his agent and stuff.
I was going to say twisting the knife a little bit more and more from Adam Peters' front office standpoint, where you walk out to the chanting and sign your autographs for 45 minutes and, you know, have your public interaction with your agent. Because, again, it's not going over very well on the front office side of that building.
No, that would not be in the typical bits of character for him. I would say this is an exceptional circumstance.
Right, but so would not playing.
So would not playing. And that would be to the nth degree. That would be more than... That goes from Terry McLaurin irritated, trying to agitate for a better deal, to downright selfish diva that doesn't care what burns as long as he gets his way.
See, I would never view it as selfish diva that doesn't care what burns. I would just say it's business. It's gotten personal. And this is him standing up for himself. But I would say that here's the difference. What he's doing now is not financial, like, ruination, so to speak. He showed back up because it was really bad for his financial situation to stay away. So he's there now, and the financial part can't be affected again until, you know, you don't accrue a season. The reason I think me and you and everybody else assumes that eventually he would show up in season is because you have to be on the team enough for him to actually get to credit for the year, mm-hmm. not to mention to get your checks for playing football. But you, that way you get to the market to get paid again or get tagged or whatever it is this coming off season. But let's open up the phones on this at 800-636-1067. Our listener lines are there for you. If you've heard, like I have, this idea that the team is not going to budge, they don't need to budge, there's no reason for them to bend the knee at all, do you agree with that? First off, 800-636-1067. That eventually he'll come to them. Because I think most of us, that's kind of the deep assumption in the back of the head is like, it'd be nice if they met in the middle, but if someone has to go to the other person's zip code, the team's not traveling to McLaurin's neighborhood. But when you look at that wide receiver room, what are they without him? Can you make the case that they don't need him on the field to be a prolific passing offense? Is there some version of this room, sans McLaurin, early this year? Brown, Debo, Gallup, McCaffrey, Lane, Moore, Osborne, where you say, yeah, they're good enough without McLaurin. Because it seems like that is the ultimate leverage when they've built this room around you.
Mm-hmm.
And without you, you go from above average group to well below average.
It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. Dende sitting in for Kevin here on the team 980. At the Denton Day on Twitter. If you want to continue our conversation of how much you would pay Terry McLaurin, you can do so. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. I'm going to jump in on Happy Gilmore 2 in 15 minutes. I watched the movie. It's been very polarizing, at least in social media discourse. So I will share some thoughts on that and see maybe if I can convince Max to watch the movie sometime later this week. So that review is going to be coming up here in 15 minutes on the Kevin Sheehan Show. Had a really good conversation just now with Taj Seth, football analytics guy, who was breaking down what Terry McLaurin did really well compared to other wide receivers, specifically that of Cortland Sutton. And the biggest thing that Terry has going for him in these negotiations, at least statistically, is the touchdowns in 2024, though we have seen touchdowns are not always consistent from year to year. It's not as all over the place as sometimes sack numbers is with defensive ends, because every now and then you'll have a defensive end who'd burst onto the scene with like 11 sacks, and then maybe he has like 2.5 the next year, if I had to guess, right? Contract year, you know what happens. But I think the touchdowns can be a little bit little difficult to predict from a year-to-year basis, but Terry is really good when it comes to the point of attack and the point of making a contested catch, but he does lack a little bit in creating separation off of the line of scrimmage. It's not to say that he doesn't, and I need you to hear that, because when we talk about Terry maybe not separating as well as he could, we're not saying that he has never separated in his time as an NFL wide receiver. We have many examples of him beating guys off of the line of scrimmage. My favorite example is in that Philadelphia game this past season, the good one, where he beats Quinyon Mitchell off the line of scrimmage immediately, and Jaden hits him with a touchdown over the top. It was the first touchdown that Quinyon Mitchell had given up on the NFL season, and it was a huge play en route to that comeback that had all of us losing our minds last year. So he can separate. It's just doing it on a consistent basis has been a little bit of a point of struggle. And when you start to get into conversations about $30 million per year, $33 million per year, or whatever that number is, you need to be able to be good at separating and creating space against other defensive backs, especially considering some of the guys that you are going to be playing in the NFC in particular. We'll worry about the AFC when, you know, we actually have to worry about the AFC. So I'm standing pretty strong and saying that I would give Terry $27 to $28 million per season. And on top of that, that's it. Like, if I'm Terry, I'm taking that deal. If that deal is pushed across the table and my agent says no to that, I'm going to need to have a real conversation with the agent and figuring out, hey, what do you have that would suggest I should be getting more than this? This is a tough situation to bet on yourself, so to speak, because there's not any team in the NFL that's going to give you any more than that money next season if you decide to play this thing out and enter free agency. There's a lot of goodwill, great will that Terry has built up here in terms of being a commander, being loyal to the soil when times were really tough, while being productive as well. Like, you're not just getting paid because you stuck around in a bad relationship. You're getting paid because you also performed on the field while sticking around in bad relationships. That doesn't exist outside of Washington. So no matter how good he is in 2025, he's not going to get a better deal than what Washington is likely offering him now. So if they get a $27, $28 million contract, you need to sign that thing immediately. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. If you're Adam Peters, how much are you paying Terry McLaurin based off of the fact that Courtland Sutton got $23 million per year yesterday? Let's start with our guy Mark in Largo. Mark, what's up, man?
Hey, how you doing, Denton?
I'm good, man.
I mean, I know you're saying 27, 28. I think to be a little bit, if you're not going to give him 33, you got to get it. I would say give him at least 30. And here's the reason why I say that, because everyone keeps talking about his age, and I get it, but the man has been like Iron Man since he's been playing here. I don't think the age should have anything to do with it. If you're giving him $27, $28 million, you're giving him the same amount of money you're giving T. Higgins, who, by the way, the last 2 or 3 years has missed 5 games apiece, which is the reason why the Bengals haven't made it to the playoffs. So he can make an argument that T. Higgins missed 10 games the last 2 years. If you round it out and get him at least 29 to 30, I don't think 33 is possible, but I think 30 would – if you give him 30, he'll sign the deal. I think he'll take that.
I agree and with I that. If he gets $30 million right now, there's no way that they're rejecting it.
You can't give him 27, 28. Right. So you agree with me on that?
Yeah, if it's 30, they're not – they would be foolish to reject $30 million in late July.
Right. Just give – because and here's the other thing. It's the same – you're 28. You're talking about T. Higgins, who, in my opinion, if you look at his – he hasn't shown up the last few years, which is that's the real reason why the Bengals haven't been in the playoffs in 23 and 24, because he hasn't played. He missed 5 games. He just missed 5 games in 24, 5 games in 23. So I would at least give him 30, maybe 29. I don't think it's that difficult, but, you know, we just got to get this done, because I think before it gets ridiculous, I do think the Sutton deal has kind of minimized that. But before I let you go, I was wondering, you sound a little down when the guy was talking to you about Brian Robinson.
I sounded down?
Yeah, you did. Because I told you yesterday that I didn't think Brian Robinson was going to make the team this year.
You did tell me
and
that.
You said, nah, he's going to make the team.
He's going to be on the team. He's going to make the team.
He's 30th ranked, though. Denton?
But who else on the team is better than him?
Yeah, I would take Merritt over him.
Based off of what?
I mean, here's the deal.
Imagination?
Here's the deal, Matt. Here's the deal. Denton, think about this, man. If he was a better runner, this offense would have been better if he was better.
Correct.
But he's not. And you want my honest opinion? This is where I agree with. I think if it was up to Adam Peters, he wouldn't be back here. I think the only person that's keeping him here and that's sticking his neck out for him is Dan Quinn. But I think if it was up to Adam Peters, Brian doesn't make this team. I'm telling you.
Well, here's the thing, Mark, and I appreciate it as always. It is up to Adam Peters because they've gotten rid of other guys that weren't playing up to snuff. They got rid, like, they let John Allen go. They said, hey, we're good. We don't need you here anymore. They let literally all the Ron guys go. Brian is making the team. This will be his last season in D.C., more likely than not, but he is making the team. You can't put all of your eggs, as much as I love Bill, Ja'Cory Croxley-Merritt, as much as I love him, you can't put all the eggs in your basket of a seventh-round pick that you've never actually seen at the NFL. Now, if you want to gradually give him more carries as the season progresses and he lives up to what you envision he can live up to, then go for it. But you're not just going to cut Brian Robinson because you've seen him in one day of pads. They're not in pads today, by the way. I thought they were. They're in more shells. Ben Standing's going to be with us in 30 minutes to get his thoughts on what they saw in practice today. But they're not in pads today. So I'm not just going to put all the eggs in the basket of a seventh-round pick. Now, if he plays really well in 2026, you want to go that direction, go for it. I still think there's a little bit of juice left in Brian Robinson. Get him for one more season, and then if you want to move on from him part ways in 2026, you go ahead and do that. Let's go to my guy Lap in D.C. We're taking calls on Terry. Mark got a little bit off track there. We're taking calls on Terry, not Brian Robinson. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Lap, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, there, man? Good show, bro.
Appreciate it.
Getting ready for my birthday, bro, Monday. So,
oh, hell yeah, man.
I'm celebrating Monday the 4th. I got the same birthday as Barack, so I'm in some good company,
hey,
man. I just
take a shot for all of us.
Look, I didn't get the invite. Yeah, I didn't get the invite to the White House to play ball and basketball in the White House when he was there, so I wish I'd have got that. But it's all good. I just think with Terry, man, they just disrespecting Terry, man. And you can't look at Terry any other way if his counterparts and peers are getting paid. You know what I'm saying? He want to get what's due to him. So y'all going to have to meet in the middle of some way or form of fashion to get this resolved, man, because this is ridiculous. We not trying to have this linger through camp, you know, all the way to the first week of the season or in the season. Like, it's just really sad, man. And a lot of these companies and corporations, man, they do this to good people all the time, man. And it's hard not to take it personal, didn't it? When you got companies that do that, you can have love in business. If you value somebody, you treat them like family, you can have love in business. But sometimes, you know, it's politics with it, and sometimes it's business. So it's just like, we got to start treating them like business too, because these companies don't be valuing us, bro. It's like with me, you know, I got affected with the federal government contract situation. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I was a good worker hard, so I have to wait for another contract. You know what I'm saying? It's just sad, but you do this to good people, Denton, and you don't do that to the bad people, the people that really deserve it, the people that's taking advantage of it.
Yeah, Lap, I appreciate it. That's a great call. Happy birthday coming up next week. Here's the thing, though. You can respect Terry, but that does not mean you overpay Terry. And like that is the balance that we are now kind of struggling with. If they were to give him a Courtland Sutton deal of $23 million per year, that would definitively be disrespecting a good player, great player for your organization, bar none. I don't believe that $28 million is. You know, like we're judging second contracts versus Terry's third contract. You know, the second contract is really where you're going to maximize your value, especially at a wide receiver. You're going to maximize your value on that second contract, because people are still going to see massive amounts of potential in you, but they're still going to realize you are a peak athlete. And not to say, like, I'm not of the belief that 30 is where you fall off a cliff when it comes to speed or anything like that. But you have to be realistic with what you're giving him. And you can still, like, a $28 million deal to Terry McLaurin on a third contract, to me, is still respecting him and valuing him as a wide receiver. $33 million would be overkill. $23 million would be disrespectful. So it's this balance, and where is that balance going to strike? I believe 27 to 28 is a good balance. I know that Terry wants to be here. I don't believe that Terry thinks there are other great options for him out there, or he would have requested / demanded a trade. He has not done that despite multiple opportunities to do so. When you know you can't do that too late into camp. You can't come August 14th and say, hey, actually, I want to get out of here. That's too late into it. There's no team that's going to make a deal for you. So I think he wants to be here. They're just stuck in terms of, what am I valued at? How am I respected? How am I not? I think 28 is still a respectful deal for Terry. Let's go to Kurt in D.C. Kurt's been on hold. Kurt, what's going on, man?
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well.
Yes, I'm just sick and tired of this bashing of Terry McLaurin. And everybody keep praising Adam Peters. He done got Larry Tarso here that had baggage. He done signed Debo to have baggage. Everybody keep praising Debo about he looking good. He should be in shape anyway. That's why San Fran didn't want him here. Then they Lattimore. This man have been in 5 years with no quarterback. put up stats there. Everybody will break, but he don't do good, and this he ain't doing this good. What did he do good? Nobody ever talked about that. I'm getting sick and tired of the bash and all these people like it's their money. I mean, pay the man so we can move on with this season. So we be 6-11 and 7-10. I'm going to hear all this. I'm going to hear all this through enthusiasm. Then about this stuff. Thank you.
All right, Kurt. Thank you. I tend to think that we've spoken about the things that Terry does well on this program, but maybe you feel differently. I appreciate it nonetheless. Rob is in Frederick. Rob, what's going on?
Hey, I was just sitting there thinking a little while ago when you all were talking about contracts. Imagine they would have told Art Monk at 30 that he's declining and don't want to pay him the money. He would have never became a Hall of Famer.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Does that mean that you're going to give Terry 33, though?
No, I'm not going to give him 33, but like you were saying, somewhere between 29 and 33, I think there's a happy medium somewhere in the middle. And to be me, I'd give him a three-year deal with and two more option years as far as the club having the option, then we'll go from there. But that's just me.
Rob, I appreciate it. My guess is that they're going to give him a four-year deal, team option on that fourth year with a majority of the guaranteed money, whatever the deal ends up being, with the majority of the guaranteed money on the first 2 years of the contract, because you're going to understand that on the final 2 years of the contract, you're going to have a big expenditure in the form of Jaden Daniels and whatever his contract is. And then on top of that, wide receiver guarantees are just not that much. You know, Cortland Sutton's guaranteed number is $41 million, fully guaranteed on a $92 million contract. I think the way that you can show value to Terry is if you give him $28 million, like that might be less than he wants in terms of an AAV thing. But if you give him more guaranteed than some of the other guys in the in that market that we've been discussing, we're on the receiving end of. Like, so for example, Sutton got $41 million guaranteed. DK got $60 million guaranteed on what was a four-year, $132 million extension. It was reported as a 5-150, but that 33 AAV that we get with DK, if you just do simple math, 150 divided by 5 is not 33, 32. 132 divided by 4 is your 33. So if you're looking at the 132 divided by 4, 33 AAV that DK Metcalf is on the receiving end of, 60 million of that is guaranteed. T. Higgins got $115 million, only 30 of that is fully guaranteed. So I think the way that you show value to Terry in this contract extension, even if that AAV number is not as high as some of these other wide receivers, the guaranteed, the fully guaranteed money should be greater than those numbers that I just dished out. So if you're giving him $28 million a year, which is less than what T. Higgins is giving, I think you show him value by giving him significantly more fully guaranteed money than what T. Higgins is on the receiving end of. What I would try and do is match the fully guaranteed that DK is getting on maybe a little bit of a lower number, but the guarantees is what you're fighting for anyway, because as soon as your guaranteed money runs out, that's when guys start to ask for new deals. So the way that I would value Terry McLaurin is by giving him a higher number in the fully guaranteed department. We're going to push my Happy Gilmore thing to hour number three. We still got a bunch of you on the line. We will take some more of your calls. We got a line open for you if you need. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. What is the number that you would give Terry McLaurin per season in a new contract based off of the number that Cortland Sutton got yesterday? It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin here on the Team 980.
All right, here's what's happening on Tuesday, July 29th. Emmanuel Clase has been placed on paid leave as part of the MLB's latest gambling probe. He becomes the second Guardians pitcher to be tied to the investigation, joining Luis Ortiz, according to the Akron Beacon. Clase will be out until at least August 31st. And meanwhile, not great news for Terry McLaurin yesterday. After Broncos wide receiver Cortland Sutton signed a four-year extension worth $92 million, about $23 million a year. Same age as Terry going into the season. And in 2024, Terry McLaurin had just 15 more yards than Sutton, including 5 touchdowns. Colts left tackle Bernard Raimann signs a four-year, $100 million extension that'll keep him in Indy through the 2030 season. Some more offensive line news. Commanders announced this morning that guard Nate Herbig has retired after 7 years in the NFL. Deion Sanders announced yesterday that he's beaten cancer. The Colorado head coach underwent a procedure to remove his bladder after doctors discovered a tumor. Since the surgery, it's been reported that there have been no traces of cancer and that Deion will be coaching in 2025. Meanwhile, the Nats, they win their third straight 2-1 over the Astros. Riley Adams with the lone home run of the ball game. They continue their series against Houston tonight. First pitch is at 8:10. Nats on deck with Charlie and Dave at 7:40. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the streams and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
The reports are that the offense has struggled here the last couple days. Mm-hmm. I don't want to make too big a deal about it. I mean, you're early in camp. You're going to have ups and downs. In fact, if you just kind of put in quarterback struggling in camp, apparently Caleb Williams in Chicago has been struggling.
The early reports are not great.
Ben Johnson really pushing him, wants him to aim for a much higher completion rate. They say he has improved sometimes at the end of practices, but there's been some, like, 7-on-7 drills where he's gone 0-for, throwing a bunch of interceptions. I think in Cleveland, we talked about, you know, Kenny Pickett's obviously been injured. I mean, I see that, like, Shedeur Sanders is clearly, in some people's minds, number 4 on the depth. As much as people are hyping up Shedeur, he's, like, clearly number 4 in terms of if you had to rank those guys. They say in Indianapolis, Anthony Richardson and Daniel Jones are struggling. Are people concerned that there's been a practice or two where the offense has really struggled here? I think there was one practice where it looked like Jaden might have had 4 or 5 interceptions.
Yeah, I saw
that
too.
The defense just getting the better of it.
I wouldn't be that concerned just because it's only 5 or 6 days into camp, and you would have. Usually, you hear the defenses are more on top of the offenses, just because of preparation and speed. And I wouldn't be that concerned now. Look, I mean, if it continues and you start hearing more struggle, JD's struggling, I wouldn't be that concerned yet. Maybe 15, 20 days into camp, maybe, but not 6 or 7.
I mean, I also bake in the fact that he's not throwing to his top target in Terry McLaurin. Has to ding him at least a little bit. I don't know if it hurts that much this early in camp, but I mean, you want to build that rapport with your wideouts throughout training camp, and he's missing that right now.
But you certainly, if you just kind of read the breakdowns from training camp on every team, there's positives and negatives on every team. And I've been trying to read most of them, and you know, whoever's covering it from whatever site you're reading, they'll say, yeah, I mean, Drake May looked great here, or Caleb Williams looked great here, or Jaden Daniels looked great here. But then, you know, there's always interceptions or incompletions. It's just training camp. I wouldn't be that concerned.
Yeah, I'm not that concerned, and I think at least here in Washington, like some of these practices where the offense has really struggled, they have picked it up at the end of practice, and they've ended on some good notes. I think it's also important to realize that Terry's not there.
He's not there, right.
That is going to have a major impact.
Of course.
Right.
Take your top wideout out of anybody's training camp, the quarterback's not going to look as good.
Yeah.
Wouldn't think.
Yeah.
So I think what you want to look for are the new guys, the free agents, and the rookies. Are they making plays? And if they are, I think everything is fine. You know, the veterans are going to do what they do, but especially the rookies. You see, you know, Jalen Lane making a great catch. That's awesome. Connor Lee playing well, battling for that right tackle spot. That's great.
I think you can't read anything into this training camp stuff. Some of the stuff that I've read from ex-players, might have been J.J. Watt, who said, this is absurd that you're keeping track of the statistics of quarterbacks in these training camp practices when you have no idea what they're being asked to do. Then in a game situation, they may not throw that ball that gets intercepted, but they're being asked to throw against these defensive coverages to see how the defense might react. Mm-hmm. So it's all skewed. You just don't know what the goals of each individual play are.
Yeah, I agree completely.
And by the way, Jaden's going to take off and run for 900 yards this year. And that's not necessarily going to be a huge part of the training camp practices. Mm-hmm. So they do run at times, but I would put almost no stock into it. You know what I'd put more stock into? How they played against the Lions in the playoffs. How they played against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would also put stock into keeping guys healthy, because you're seeing guys go down early, you know, for season-ending injuries in other camps. You want to keep your key guys healthy. You don't want a torn Achilles or knee or broken collarbone.
I mean, one of the biggest advantages for this offense is the continuity. You're getting Jaden back. I mean, since Kirk Cousins, they haven't had the same starter on opening day. So for the first time, you're going to have the same starter in week one this year as you had last
year.
And
in the same offense.
It's been a long time.
You have Kingsbury back.
Exactly.
I mean, Kingsbury was a hot commodity this past coaching cycle, and he chose to stay here for another year.
Offensively, I wouldn't really worry. Should be better with Debo and Laremy Tunsil. The question is, and you know, we had the one caller say, the guy that's Z, say that Kinlaw is a huge guy. That's my question. To me, almost like the whole season is, are they going to be able to stop the run?
I think they'll be better.
That was their serious Achilles heel.
I think they're going to be better at it. I think defensively they're going to make a huge jump this year. But the thing is, and the reason why I bring up the offensive struggles questions a little bit, because I've assumed that the offense is just going to kind of actually, at a bare minimum, maintain what they did last year, if not get a little bit better, right? I feel like they scored 29 points a game, whatever it was.
Yeah.
They still have to, they have better personnel. Why can't we do better?
It should be.
Why can't we do better? At a minimum.
Maybe defenses adjust. I don't know.
But if the Terry holdout.
Schedule.
Well, Terry's going to play week one. You know that.
Yeah, but if it drags on, game. Say he doesn't sign for another 10 days and misses a bunch of camp, he could start the season slow. He could have a slow first month of the season, first 5 weeks that he's just not up to speed.
I don't see a scenario. I don't think he's going to sign anything in the next 10 days. It sounds like they're butt far apart.
Yeah, I mean, I don't expect a deal anytime soon.
Yeah, but I think he's going to have to start practicing.
But he knows
at some point.
He's got to get out there.
Yeah, he knows. He's going to get out there. He knows.
But to answer your question, EB, I wouldn't worry about it. Are you worried?
I'm not worried. I'm just, my eyebrows are raised. I just want to see. My eyebrows are raised. I want to see my stud quarterback, who I'm expecting to take another step. I don't want to throw him in 100 interceptions this year.
He looks pretty chill.
He does. I agree.
That's one of his hallmarks.
Right. I'm certainly encouraged by some of the young guys that are that
You
are
worried,
popping.
Cakes?
Worried to about the offense?
EB's question.
I'd worry much more about the defense than I'd worry about the offense at this point.
I think I'm telling you, I'm excited about the defense. I'm excited about the secondary, and I think I'm excited to see the different packages they come up with in terms of pass rushing guys. I heard that they're standing up more guys. They're moving guys around. The Kinlaw thing, I just can't wait to see him. I want to ask her. Everybody says the same thing about Kinlaw. What a monster.
Oh, he is.
What an absolute monster.
Massive.
Let's go to Jonathan, West Virginia. Jonathan, what's up, buddy? You're over the Junks.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
What's up, Jonathan?
Hey, listen, I just want to comment. Hey, I'm good. I just want to comment on what you guys are talking about as far as training camp. I've been a fan for years, and how many times we heard defense is doing great or the offense is doing great, and we get to the season, it's like it goes the other way. So it's more about just seeing these new guys stand out. And like you said, what are they being asked to do with the lane catch, that spectacular catch he had? I've read somewhere where they supposedly are down 60 at the goal line. You got to score a touchdown. So that's why Daniels threw that pass to him. So it's more, it's you just really got to look at what the new guys are doing and how it's going to translate to the field. I always wait to the first couple games till I make my prediction of what's going to happen on the field. So, you know, as long as these new guys coming in or fitting in, making plays, that's making me happy for what's expected to happen on the field. That's all I got for you guys.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
Thank you, Jonathan. I just wish we had, who was it? Was it Buffalo? Who was it? Was it Buffalo that we had on? Yeah, it was Buffalo. Oh, yeah. We were talking about Von Miller. I just wish we had that schedule. Our schedule is totally different than that one, buddy. It just is.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot easier schedule.
And there wasn't a lot of travel either.
No, they're not going. I don't think they're going to Europe like we are.
Update. We got a bunch of Popeyes. Update number two. It's 98 degrees in here, and Bemis is just eating red beans and rice. One of the most impressive things I've ever seen.
What's wrong with red beans and rice?
Nothing. It's just pretty hot to be eating red beans and rice.
I got a fan.
Last update, whenever we get Popeyes in the office, whoever gets it, we all know to get spicy chicken. Jeff went out to this Popeyes and got mild chicken. I'm just saying, Jeff, that's the first time it's ever happened.
Nah, but this box.
He did get both.
I knew this box was spicy.
You can defend yourself if you want, Jeff. You're lucky B hasn't punched you.
Well,
I just didn't know. And I wasn't going to call him back.
Tore my receipt?
No, it ripped when I went like this, when you was cursing me out in the air, I tried to make it pop, like, pop. No, but it was
more. Oh, you strong.
A little bit, and, yeah, strong. I'm a little bit too
strong.
You
rip a piece of paper. Wow. Yeah. Ooh.
all right. So this information right now floating around, Adam Schefter on Pat McAfee talking about the divide between the Commanders and Terry McLaurin in these contract negotiations. Let's hear this again, Landfill, and do some reacting.
It's been vast. And
vast. Wow.
It's been vast. And so it's up to the two sides to figure out a way to bridge their differences. But I would say that DK Metcalf was the same draft class as Terry McLaurin. He got about $33 million a year. I wouldn't think that Terry is willing to take less than that, and I think he wants considerably more than that. Now, what it comes in at, we'll wind up seeing. Washington, you know, they're not there right now, and they love and value Terry McLaurin, but they love and value him at a different price. So they seem, these two sides right now seem apart on a deal. Like, they don't seem close today.
Okay. I have a number of thoughts. I think we all have known that the two sides don't seem close. They seem apart. Schefter saying he wants considerably more than Metcalf gets really interesting.
So he thinks.
Okay. That's the top four paid wideouts in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to get into pretty expensive territory there. DK's at 33, CeeDee Lamb at 34, Justin Jefferson at 35, Ja'Marr Chase at 40. But what stands out to me more than anything, Brian, this is the first time we've started to hear some numbers, whether it's speculative or not. And this is the first time we've kind of heard a little bit of, hey, man, these numbers are really high. That's why maybe this isn't getting done. I wonder if this isn't the first, after a couple days of Terry signing pictures, you know, signing autographs, taking pictures, being here, I wonder if this isn't the first, like, hey, man, we got a point here, too, that this is too much money.
But my question would be, if you look at what DK Metcalf got and you look at their production, is it too much money to ask for something around that?
I'm not even necessarily worried about that. I'm saying this is the first time the team my reading of the tea leaves here lends me to believe this is the first time the team spoke with someone about the situation and gave an indication of why it's not getting done. Because the team's kind of pocketed everything. They
pocketed everything. I don't see them changing right now, though, to be honest with you, Jay. Because he said, well, you know, it's up to these two people. Who else is it up to? That's obvious. It's up to these two people, these two groups to get it done. Nobody else can get it done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I think this is speculative, and you probably can sit there. And if you are anybody that follows this enough, you know, if I got drafted with somebody and I think I've been a better receiver than him and he got something, I want more than him. Now, to say considerably more, we don't know what that price is.
Sure.
You know, that could be $500,000 a year, which may end up, $1.5 to $2 million over the lifetime of that contract.
Right.
Could be $1 million per year. End up being about $3 to $4 million, whatever. But I know we want something to happen, and I think every little information that come out, we try to make some sense of it. I still hear a lot of speculation.
Schefter says the two sides are not close. They are far apart. If it's true that Terry McLaurin wants DK or more money, you're talking about a top, paying a guy to be a top four of the market, maybe top three
DK's
of the market.
DK's not, 3 or 4 year deal?
3 year extension on the current deal.
Yeah.
But like if the money is real, that would make it, that would put Terry in top three in the NFL probably. And I'm curious if folks would do it. 800-636-1067. We don't have a ton of time left, but if you want to chime in here, you're welcome to. Landfill, I mean, you've been very clear to just get this Terry deal done. What do you make of this latest Schefter report?
I still think you just get it done. It's kind of a bummer that they appear to be, you know, reasonably far apart. So maybe this isn't something that's going to be resolved fairly quickly, but just pay him. You're saving a bunch of money because you don't really have to pay a quarterback. I think if you look around the league, a guy of Jaden's caliber, if he was, you know, 3 years into his career, would be making like $50 million. You're paying him like 10. Give Terry some of that 40.
Yeah, I mean, you are saving money on the Jaden deal right now, for sure. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey, what about you? You going north of DK to get a Terry deal done?
I don't have no problem with it, but I can tell you my emotions are on a roller coaster ride. And I'm just going to give you from the past couple of days. When Terry showed up to camp, I said, oh, my gosh, this is actually good. He's here. They probably, you know, working on it. It's getting there. And then Keim comes out with a report that doesn't mean anything. And I was like, oh, man. But now with this, for real, this is going to sound wild to say because Adam Schefter is an insider that gets a lot of news, breaks a lot of things first. I don't know if I can trust his word on this one because, and it's not nothing to knock him, it's just that this regime has been so airtight with their business handlings. How do we even know? I think, like, when he said, I think, that's when it became speculation for me. So it's like we're just in the limbo waiting right now.
Let's let folks weigh in on the phones. Our guy Jupe is on the line. Jupe, what do you think about the latest with Schefter weighing in on McLaurin, man? You going north of DK?
Hey, listen, I'm not listening to what nobody says besides what came out of Terry's mouth. He said he's not trying to reset the market, and to me that means pay around DK's what DK got. So we're looking at 33, 34, 35. I'm fine with that. I have no problem with that. Terry needs that. He is available. If you want to compare stats, numbers, all that good stuff, cool, I get it. He's not a Chase. He's not a Jefferson. But the number one thing that Terry is available outside of Chase and Jefferson. And on top of that, the number one in contested catches. And what is a wide receiver known for? Catching balls, and Terry does that. So that's all I got for y'all.
Appreciate you, Juke. Thanks, buddy. 800-636-1067. If Terry wants to be paid like a top three NFL wide receiver, are you getting that deal done? Let's go to Alex in Silver Spring. What's up, Alex?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's up?
Yeah, they came out the same draft, blah, 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 this and that, right? I mean, you can't really, like, I love Terry. But you can't really compare, okay, this guy came out the same draft. If another team is willing to break the bank and everything else on the other individual. For an example, if you want to buy a car and you don't do your due diligence and you just want to buy it because of the name or whatever, you know, I mean, that's your money. Also, you know, I don't care. But my whole point, but remember, I like Terry. But it's got to work both ways, like you guys know. It's a business at the same time.
That is a business, but you got to realize, though, What happens in the NFL is that's how the market gets set, by comparing what you've done against what somebody else have done. And I would have to say that DK has had better quarterbacking than Terry had up until last year, and he has still been producing. So if I'm producing with less, then you can't tell me I'm not working with other guys' work.
Appreciate the call, Alex.
It's a hard thing. I see you guys. It's a hard decision, man. I'm glad I'm not the one going to be able to make it.
I'm with you on that.
It's definitely hard, man. Let's go to Sean in Falls Church. Sean, what's up, dude? This Terry McLaurin situation heating up.
Amen to that. I here's the thing. I think ultimately that the deal gets done, they're going to pay him. But I do think that if you're going to compare him to DK Metcalf, in terms of they played pretty much the exact same amount of games, almost the exact same amount of yards. Terry's got a couple more receptions, but touchdowns-wise, DK's got a couple more. Now, quarterback play is always a question, but I would say, it really just comes down to whether you're – I think 32, 33 is more than fine. I hope Terry accepts that. I hope the team just gets out there and they start playing, and this is something that we don't even talk about in one month.
Yep. I hope you're right.
If the deal gets signed, we ain't going to talk about it. We're going to just move forward.
Yep. I agree with that. It is tricky, though, man. Like, he's under contract right now. And if they are this far apart, like, if say it's 34, right? And they're offering 26.
That would be a problem to me.
30 does seem to be right in the middle, but maybe people don't want to meet in the middle.
Yeah.
Why don't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing my mind just a little.
We just lost like 4,500 people listening.
Alex is in Lord.
He just killed their ears.
Alex, what you got?
Yeah, I think $32 million is the most that I would pay for Terry. Like, he's great and everything, but anything north of that, like, literally the contract will kick when he's 31 years old. Also, I doubt if any other team in NFL will pay him $33-34 million per year. And I think anything below 30, if 32 doesn't make him happy, anything above that, I think he's being a bit greedy. So
let me ask you a question. What makes you settle at 32? What gives you the idea of 32? Just to throw a number out there? Or you have some reason to believe that?
No, I do reason to believe. Like, we have $40 million Chase, 35 Jefferson, 34 CeeDee Lamb. All of these are, like, more productive and younger receiver. And
those guys, yes, but the guy that you're saying he should be behind is not necessarily more productive.
No, he's not, but also, like, he's younger. I know he came to the league, but also sometimes some of the teams, they do overpay. Unfortunately, they do overpay. And that's what Commanders are trying to move away from.
If I may.
They don't want to overpay.
The one thing I want to be crystal clear on,
yeah,
there are plenty of teams in the NFL that would pay it. They don't get the opportunity because he's not a free agent, but I think.
If he was a free agent, he would have gotten more.
Yeah, the terms might be different. If he was a free agent and he was able to play one team against the other and drive this up, hell yeah. I almost wonder, and again, I don't even know anymore.
Speculating, yeah.
We're speculating. But, like, to work out a sign-in trade, because, frankly, the road we're on is troubling. Like, the next step in this type of road is a trade request. Like, and for him to get traded would require a new contract, right? Like, he's not going to agree to a trade without a new deal. So, to even have the trade conversation, you got to have teams that want him. And I think there's one that Washington's going to go practice against in about 10 days. Chris is in Culpeper. Chris, close us out, bro.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Great topic, like usual. I think the number is $34 million. I thought that for a couple of weeks. DK's at, what, 33? CD's at 35? Yeah. CD's a little bit younger. I think he's a little bit better than Terry. I can understand that. But Terry's better than DK, and he hasn't had a quarterback since he's been in the league and has done nothing but produce fringe top 10 numbers. And then you actually get a top 10 quarterback last year, and then you see the results. Man played for Ohio State, always had a couple of guys in front of him. So he doesn't have that wear and tear. DK, they can pay for Ole Miss. I don't know. I don't know. I think at SEC school.
He did. He went to Ole Miss.
You play every single down, you get your head tore up. So you get a little bit more wear and tear. So I think 34 is the number. I think that would get it done. And we just need to get it signed, bring him in. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, bud. Appreciate the call. I don't know, man. This does seem like the first
if
public.
You don't know, now you know.
The first public numbers we've gotten in this in this conversation.
I don't know if we necessarily got public numbers, Jay. We got a – he's probably want more, way more, he said. We don't know what them numbers are.
But he said then DK.
Yeah.
He made the DK comparison and said more. So even if it's a dollar more, you're talking top three in the league. And maybe he's worth it. Also, if it's top three in the league right now, in a year it'll be top eight. And in 2 years, it'll be top 15.
If it's more than DK, he'll be still three.
No, CD's only.
You got three people ahead of him.
If he's getting more than DK at 33, CD's right there at 34.
Yeah, so 33-5.
Sure.
I'm just saying.
Here's what I do know. I am not sure about this Terry situation. I am certain, however, about my new garage door from Door Pro America. They did an absolutely great job replacing my old, loud, crusty-ass garage door with a really nice, quiet, silent garage door. This morning, I'm up early as hell. Lauren and the girls still sleeping. I was able to go out the garage. Didn't wake anybody up. It's a total game changer. You should hit these guys up. They're really good at what they do. Door Pro America has been proudly serving the DMV for over 50 years. They do it all. Repairs, maintenance, new installations, garage door openers, too. Do what I did. Give them a call and ask how you can save big on repairs or check out their annual maintenance plans. Right now, you get $60 off any repair or a tune-up for just $89. Do what I did and go with the pros at Door Pro America. Call 877-DOOR-PRO. That's 877-DOOR-PRO. Or visit DoorProAmerica.com. Make sure you tell them J.P. Finley sent you.
Speaking of receivers, though, let's get to McLaurin. He showed up yesterday. I think the way this got reported on initially was flawed, and the way this has been talked about largely has been off. So the idea that the holdout is over is true and accurate in that a hold-in has begun. But the way it is being reported, the way I see it written about by some people is essentially Terry McLaurin's not holding out anymore. He's at the facility rehabbing, and he's got this foot and ankle problem. Okay, I guess, if you really just want to take everyone at their word. Here is what is happening. Terry McLaurin got tired of being fined $50,000 a day.
Mm-hmm.
He is not going to keep getting fined $50,000 a day. We talked about this last week, and as I said, he's not going to get fined $811,000 when he misses preseason games. That is not a smart business decision. So he decided to do what I thought he was going to do to begin with, which made a lot more sense to me anyway and to a lot of people, and to just do the more traditional, in this CBA era, hold in. And so that is exactly what he's doing. So he has not come out as a distraction during practice, which I give him credit for. I'm assuming that's part of the deal that was struck. Everybody kind of trying to work together a little bit on this thing to say, hey, let's have some goodwill. My guess is they don't want him down on the sideline watching practice because fans are going to be yelling. And maybe if it's not an open day, both of the days he's been there, there have been fans. Maybe tomorrow when it's just the media, or in a couple days when it's just the media, maybe he's allowed to come out. But He has come out and talked to his agent. They've walked side by side in front of all the cameras. They have signed a bunch of autographs after practice. And they chant his name. And he has signed for a total of an hour over the last 2 days for every kid in a certain section of training camp. So he's reported, and he is there. He's a bigger distraction now to the team, for sure, than he was before he came back. So we could have the conversation is, you know, what's better for the club? Probably him holding out. What's better for McLaurin, just because it's $50,000 a day? Probably him holding in. But this does not mean progress is being made on the contract. In fact, I've heard otherwise. It's very much a stalemate still. This is extremely simple to me, Danny. This was just the move for him to stop getting fined.
Yeah.
And so he's there now. He's boys with the team. You know, he's buddies with all the players. He enjoys the fans. So he's doing everything other than practicing, and he's still at odds with the front office over the contract. Nothing's changed other than him showing up, and so they can't keep taking money out of his checking account.
Yeah, the thing I've talked about all throughout this process is, from the team's perspective, the way the CBA is written, the way the agreement is, they've got a lot of leverage here. They are sort of exercising those rights. Right, they are playing hardball because they can, and there's only so many recourses a player has. Well, this is McLaurin's version of that. This is his recourse, right? Where you can hold out and get fined a bunch, or you can still kind of make your point while being there. And it's, you know, the longer this goes, the more distracting or destructive or detrimental it is for everybody involved. But this is him playing the same game that the team is playing. So again, no faulting anybody just yet, but I think you've said it very well. It's as much a PR move as anything. Like, you can't tell me it's not purposeful, rather, is the word I'm looking for, that he and his agent are having these heart-to-hearts on the field. Can everyone see everyone's face? Can we get everybody's camera to clack away to let everyone know when it's time for me and my agent to talk? It's all very purposeful. And it's a continuation of that PR strategy of public pressure, getting everybody yelling Terry, going to Eastern Motors where your job is your credit, to give a press conference where you're cutting promos for 45 minutes about how great you are. It's kind of an extension of that. There's only so many levers they can pull, and this is one.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a media circus and a dog and pony show, and that's good for business for him.
Yeah.
You know, that's what the team is trying to avoid, essentially. And by the way, for the couple of days when he was actually holding out and he was not at the team facility, the story was going away. Not to say that it would stay away, because every few days you're still going to ask about it.
Mm-hmm.
But they were much better able to control it, because it's only Dan Quinn speaking. And Dan Quinn has this way where when he's asked about it, he says, yeah, I'll tell you when I have an update. There's no update. What else are you going to do? Just hold him over the coals?
Mm-hmm.
So by Terry McLaurin being there, now he goes down to sign autographs. He comes back up. There is the ability to kind of walk alongside him and ask him some questions. And each of the last couple of days, we have done that. I had to work on my back pedal today. The quads were barking a little bit, coming uphill, backwards, trying to keep up with Terry McLaurin.
We don't need to talk.
Just taking it day by day.
Being here in the building, though, how does that improve the dialogue?
Just taking it day by day.
Are you going to be able to practice at some point, or how far away from being healthy are you?
Just taking it day by day.
Thanks.
It sounds to me like he might be taking it day by day.
Is it a day by day situation?
But this is where we are. It's Brian Fontana Panda Watch. I will acknowledge that right now, he and his agent are winning in the court of public opinion. And I think they're whooping butt. The player's generally going to. So they started with a 25-point lead probably. But by him showing up, by him signing autographs, I'm standing next to him the last couple days as kids are all saying, they need to pay you. Have they paid you yet? And he's like, not yet. And everyone's telling him he's the man and how great he is. In the court of public opinion, he is absolutely winning. Now, the Commanders don't care a ton about that. And when you go toe-to-toe with the choice they've made here, when you decide to make a bet that is getting into a very public dispute over a few million dollars with the face of your franchise and the most popular player on the team, this is what you invite, and you've got to deal with it.
Yeah, there's inevitability to that part of it. You're right. In the sense that where if you're going to play hardball, which is well within your rights to do, and I'd frankly rather you do that than just overpay everybody. I know the disagreement here that anybody could have is, well, this isn't just anybody. This is this guy. Please treat him special.
This is the guy.
Yeah. But if you're going to do that, then you understand that that doesn't just happen quietly. That's not happening in a vacuum. Like their teams are going through this. There are guys, I'm trying to remember the player for Detroit, the linebacker, who's asking for a new contract, is practicing, but it's a circus around there, and it's going on, knowing that if you're going to play hardball and it lingers, everyone's getting asked about it every day. Public pressure is going to be there every day. You eyes wide open on that. You're not a babe in the woods. If you're Adam Peters or Brandon Sosna or Newmark and company, you knew this kind of going in. It's almost, you know, from their perspective, talking about McLaurin and his agent, how much of this can you take? How bothered are you going to get before anything changes on your end?
Well, he's got two levers to pull, basically. One is the holdout. The others demand a trade. And they have had no interest yet in demanding a trade, which I've been talking about is surprising to me. Everybody takes great offense to that. They get in their fan feathers or whatever, and they get really annoyed and get angry at me. I'm not suggesting that Washington should trade him or that Terry should want to be traded. My point is, as a player, you don't really have any leverage, and one of the things you can do is ask for a trade. It doesn't mean, by the way, that you're going to be traded. It just can help facilitate things and expedite things and show how angry you really are and how serious you are about getting a new contract. Oftentimes, I would be willing to bet almost every time that anybody has ever gone this far, which is to continue to hold out without practicing a week into training camp, they also demand a trade. To me, it would probably be not very common to do all of this and to never demand a trade. Like if you're unhappy enough to not show up in an era where it costs you huge money or to not practice in an era where most of the time guys just practice, you're willing to do that. You're also willing to demand a trade. It's like driving to the beach but not taking out your folding chair and sitting there and watching the waves for a little while. But, you know, everyone says, oh, the holdout is over. Well, as a technicality, sure, because he's holding in. What is a holdout? A holdout means he's unwilling to play. He is unwilling to practice. He is still doing that. And we all have to play this game as if he's injured. You know, and I've, number one priority of my entire career is like never question toughness. Never say that a guy that's hurt isn't really hurt. But like we all really know.
Yeah, his ankle's fine is what I'll say that.
He's not hurt. I mean, this is not an injury. But it's this. It is infuriating to hear Dan Quinn sit there and act like he's Sam Cosmi. I mean, at his press conference the last few days, he's like, we're getting Terry treatment. He's coming along
well. It's a process. It's day to day and every day.
He's in the training room. We're working with him. And it's like, oh, my God, don't lie to my face, bro. Like, just, you know, just smirk. Say, yeah, he'll be in the training room. And we're not stupid. Don't act like we're stupid. Terry isn't even gone. It's not like he's walking out there with a fake limp or whenever the ankles come up in a couple of these little walk and talks, he's completely hasn't answered it or suggested he's actually hurt. But this is his leverage. And what's scary, I think, if you're a fan is, before he showed up, my point was $50K a day is eventually going to mean something. $811,000 to miss a preseason game. He's got to show up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now he has shown up and you're doing this I'm injured thing. Well, if you're injured until you get paid, why ever stop being injured? He's there. He can't be fined. He's going to accrue a season. Like, there is no drawback, if he's serious about it, that would say eventually he's got to play, other than pride or his teammates kind of coming up to him and being like,
"Come on,
bro, you're killing us." But this, to me, him being there, doing the I'm hurt thing, like if he was there and there was no ankle, there was no injury, I would say, okay, well, there's only a matter of time before you got to practice because you could still be fined or whatever. That's how you get out of the money. So why couldn't he do this in 2 weeks? Why couldn't he do this in a month?
Yeah, if we're still playing pretend in a few weeks and he's skipping preseason games because of it, my hand's going up here. That tide turns. Now we're pretending. You're under contract.
By the way,
let's go.
That's not like a month away. They play a preseason game in a week and a half.
Yeah.
Like, so, I think it's like 9 or 10 days.
And I don't remember a case where this has happened, what you're talking about, but it is. It's a legal recourse given the CBA. Like, it's one of these loopholes. They didn't think of this permutation. Maybe the next one they will, where someone could just pretend to be hurt for the extent of their contract and then, you know, call everyone's bluff, right? I guess to me, my opinion will lower significantly if that's something that he does. I'm not accusing him of doing it before he does it. So that's the end of that. But again, I think fan tide would turn at some point if we're still pretending to be hurt at, you know, a month from now or missing the regular season or as it might go. But I wonder what the team's recourse would be eventually. Like, let's say he's still out with an ankle into September and in game one of the regular season, game two of the regular season. Are we now calling in like independent arbiter third-party physicians to be like, yep, clean bill of health on the ankle. It's totally fine. You could absolutely be playing football. And then we go to court on something. I mean, like, what sort of where would that end,
so,
this game of pretend?